ready to go? Okay. May I have your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome everyone to the Maryland Libertarian Party Convention. For those of you who I have not yet met, my name is Bob Johnston. Can you not hear me?
No.
Okay.
There's too many people talking.
Robert, how do you turn the mic on here? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
No.
How about now?
No.
How about now? How about now? Testing, testing.
This time it's permanent.
There you go.
Thank you.
Test.
You got to get close. Yeah, you got to get right on top of the mic.
Let's try this again, shall we? My name is Bob Johnston. I am the chair of the Maryland Libertarian Party. Have been so for 14 years. I'm the longest serving chair in the Libertarian Party. At least for the next hour and a half, I will be stepping down this afternoon.
Keep going.
Okay. Thanks for everyone for coming out. I personally want to thank those who helped set up the event. Phil Dassing. Crystal Woodworth, who I think is outside with her husband John. And Susan, it takes a lot of time to put these events together, and thank you very much for doing so.
Getting close on the mic to get volume.
Even more?
Yeah, a little bit, yep.
How's that?
Perfect.
Oh, you're good. Please pardon my attire. I ruptured a tendon a couple of months ago, had to get knee surgery, and I've been on this stupid brace for the whole time. It's coming off in 10 days. I cannot wait. I did try to wear a suit and tie. The pants barely got over the brace. I was out of the hell with it. So, hence the shorts and the sweatshirt.
We're not going to vote you for
it. What do I care? I'm a short timer. I want to personally welcome our executive director, and that's without the interim tag anymore, Tyler Harris. I also want to welcome the former executive director and my former boss, Dan Fishman. And Dan's a grunt. He's a member of the board. He's a central committee member. He is one of us. Absolutely. Is Joe Bishop Henchman here? Did he make it? There he is. The big kahuna, the national chair himself. Joe Bishop Henchman. How about Susan Hogarth? Has she made it here yet? Or Jim Lark, our regional reps. I'll introduce them when they come here. Okay. I'm very grateful for these people coming out. They are giving up their whole day. Joe lives in D.C. Tyler lives in Gainesville. Susan lives in North Carolina. And Jim Lark lives in Charlottesville. I mean, they're giving up their whole day to hang out and be with us. And I'm very grateful for that. We have a busy meeting today. We've got a lot of stuff to do. So please be respectful of the others. When we're having discussions, please no hogging the floor, controlling all the questions, no speeches, no rants, things along. In other words, don't be like they are at a national convention.
Don't start.
Okay. Joe, you ready for Reno next year? 3 days on stage with the knuckleheads? Could you imagine me out there? I wouldn't make it 15 minutes. I go out your point of order right here. Now sit down and shut up. Heck with Robert's rules. It's Robert Johnston's rules time. Speaking of Robert's rules, we do not use Robert's. What we use is Sturgis. It's very similar. If you know Robert's, you'll be close enough for parliamentary procedure. If you have some business you want to bring up or a motion you want to make and you don't know how to do it, just raise your hand, let me know in English what you're trying to accomplish, and we'll get it taken care of. To participate in the meeting, you must be a member of the Central Committee. To be in the Central Committee, you must, number one, be a dues-paying member of the state party. I hope you're also members of the national party, but you have to be a member of the state party, number one. Number two, you must live in the state. Number three, you must be a registered libertarian voter. and number, since we're now back on the ballot, and number four, you must agree to the principles in Article 2 of our state party constitution. If you're not a central committee member, if you want to, if you have a question, please raise your hand, and if the body recognizes you, then we will acknowledge your question. But please, when it comes to voting, debates, and making motions, please leave that to the CC members. I would ask those of you who are Central Committee members, please have your yellow bracelets on so we can see who is who. Who is able to conduct business. With that, I would have our honorable party secretary, Robert Glaser, now read off the list of Central Committee members.
I'm trapped. This is the largest number we've ever had in my recollection. So. So the people that I have surreptitiously checked off. Okay, my total is 45 present and 13 proxies.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Excuse me. Okay, any questions before we begin? Oh, by the way, I would like, Dr. Lark is here. Our former National Party regional rep, the GOAT, the greatest of all time when it comes to regional reps, former national chair, Dr. James Lark. I have chaired, this is my 28th Central Committee meeting I have chaired since I've been the chair. Jim has come up and made three quarters of them. And that includes hanging out and drinking with us afterwards, too, on top of it.
The best part.
Exactly. So, Robert, the final credentials report was 44 and 13?
45, 13 out of 70.
Okay. 45 present, 13 proxies. Thank you very much. Each of you should have a copy of the agenda. This needs to be passed with a majority of vote. We can, once the agenda is passed, it can be changed by suspending the rules with a two-thirds vote. Does anybody have any issues with the agenda as it is, or have some new business they want to add to it? Hearing none, is there any objection to passing the agenda as is? Hearing none, so moved. Thank you for saying. Okay, and with that, the secretary's report.
I have nothing to report except the minutes.
Okay. There are two sets of minutes. One was from the picnic last year in August. Does anybody have any questions or corrections to make to those minutes? Is there any objection to passing those minutes? The next meeting was from the special meeting in October. Does anybody have any corrections or adjustments to make to those 7 minutes? Does anybody have an objection to passing those minutes as is? Hearing none, so moved. The chair's report. As of this morning, we have 165 members. We probably have 166 members in the party, which is probably the most we've had in my time in the party.
Yeah!
Our registration is of the March Board of Elections report. The most recent one is 15,675. When we got back on the ballot, we lost about 40% of our registered voters. They switched to another party or to independent or other. Some of them are coming back. We are a recognized party. To maintain ballot access, we need one of two things. Number one, we have to have at least 1% of the registered voters at the end of next year. Probably not going to happen. That right now is about 44,000. So we're only about 38% of the way there. What's that? Yes, we do. The other way to retain ballot access is to get 1% in the race for governor next year. This is not an easy thing to do in Maryland. Since 1970, only one minor party gubernatorial candidate has gotten that 1%, and that was Sean Quinn back in 2014. In addition, there will probably be at least 6 candidates on the ballot for governor, more if independents run. So we're going to have our work cut out for us. But that's where we are right now. I'm grateful we are on the ballot because it is tougher in other states. In North Carolina and in West Virginia, you have to pay a 1% filing fee. If you want to run for Congress, that's $1,740. Here it's $290. In Virginia, if you want to run statewide, 10,000 signatures. Pennsylvania's 5,000 signatures. So we don't. Once we're on the ballot, we don't have to collect signatures. You just need to get the nomination and pay the filing fee. We don't have to be in the primaries or anything like that. All partisan state and federal offices are up for election next year. Governor, Attorney General, Comptroller, all 8 U.S. House seats, U.S. Senate, all the legislative seats, most of the county seats, with the exception of Cecil County, only 3 county council seats. But I think all the other counties, their partisan offices are up for election. If you're thinking about running for office, shoot me an email, give me a call, or pull me aside, and we can talk about it. Getting on the ballot is not that difficult. One good thing that happened from last year is we were able to get a lot of electronic signatures. We would not have been successful without them. People were not going to sign petitions. You know, somebody approaching you, you don't know, and the electronic signatures bailed us out. There is support for getting that both enshrined permanently, including from Annapolis. That would be great to have. Mr. Blitz, would you speak briefly on that?
So we went to the legislature on the bill it's permanent. We have a delegate Ruth to sponsor it. Unfortunately, the way election law works in Maryland is unless the leadership of the majority party signs off, it never leaves the movement. So, as some of you know, I worked on a ballot access bill in Maryland for about 4 years to reduce our number to 10,000 straights in that petition. And the reason we never left committee was nobody on the Democratic side willing to let that out. So we suffered the same fate in the electronic petition thing, even though that was a very technical amendment. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. The Assistant Attorney General for the Board of Elections has opined that the Board of Elections has their own authority to accept those electronic signatures as a regulatory matter. So next month, Libertarian Party, me and Andy Ellis are going to the Board of Elections to their Zoom call. We're going there to make the pitch that they adopt regulations to make electronic signatures permanent in Maryland. They have a benefit because they don't have to count it. Some of their local boards don't like the idea. Some of them do. So that's the tension. Some of their boards don't want to make it easier for any third parties to get on, and so they recognize that. So we'll see, but I'd say it's a 50% to 60% chance that we'll get that administrated.
Thank you, Mr. Blitz. Also, the Maryland Party has decided not to go with the National Party CRM. We're going to have our own, and we will be coming online with a new website in about 2 to 3 weeks.
Yes, sir.
Largely thanks to Crystal Woodward, who built it on her own time. Does anybody have any questions regarding the chair's report regarding the state of the state party?
Who is the webmaster for the website?
Crystal.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we will now move to the treasurer's report. Mr. Blitz.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Libertarians.
Good afternoon.
So, spent the year with the treasurer. What we did for the first time was introduce a budget. You may remember that we passed an amendment to our Constitution to require a budget. And you can see the results that have been passed out, and I'll take questions on them. I think the key element for everybody, including future executive board members, to recognize is the budget is really the synthesis of our short-term activation goals, the action plans, and the money that's necessary to get it done. And it's the planning process for the next year. So we run on a fiscal year. What we will do is When you elect a new executive board, they'll have about 2 months to work on the chair will propose the budget. They will pass the budget. It gets presented to you as a central committee at the next, which would be at the annual picnic. I think you saw the budget last year. We had very good results this year as far as our membership and our general contributions. I'm not going to go through all the detail because I've provided a narrative that explains all that, but if you have any questions about the budget report or the transaction report at the very end, I'm certainly willing to take them. Memberships are basically double what we expected, and we still have 3 months to go. General contributions. That was a lot of the caucuses really pushing their members to join. And so that's great. The general contributions are also way up. And, you know, we have some members that donate a lot of money. Included within this, I should mention, is the local groups. We have two very active local groups in Arundel County and Baltimore County. David Dole on the Anne Arundel County. You know, Anne Arundel County's got in excess of $800 on their own raised. So that's good. And I really encourage the other local groups to get more active and start getting members, raising funds, and becoming active in 2021. Do you have any questions about the treasurer's report?
Delatory.
Is there any objection to passing the treasurer's report? Hearing none, so moved. I will say this before we move on to the next order of business. We have maintained our members much better after a presidential election than I've ever seen. Normally after a presidential election, we tend to lose half. After Gary Johnson in 2017, nationally we lost three quarters of them. Most of the people after Joe's run have hung on. Correct me if I'm wrong, Joe Bishop Henchman, we have over 20,000 members still. 21,000. And as I pointed out, our membership right now has probably been as high as it's been since I was chair. Now, I will say this. When I joined the party in late 2000, early 2001, we did have more members, but there were a lot of Republicans hanging in there, kind of coming to our meetings and stuff. Once we started aggressively running candidates, those people disappeared. How can you run somebody against Bob Earl? Like, well, he's not really a libertarian. Really? No, but he's a good guy. So thanks, everyone. And let me say this, too. Again, thanks for being donors to the state party, also the national party. I have done 3 petition drives. I'm not doing any more. In my time as chair, there's nothing I would rather not do. I hate petitioning. The national party has probably given us anywhere from $80,000 to $90,000 to get back on the ballot. That's where your money's going. It's going to attorneys, fighting the D's in the yard, trying to kick us off the ballot all the time. So you know where your money's going. Now we will have a prospective bylaws change. Dr. Glazer.
If you'll permit me just to sit down by my tablet. This is really Dean and Ryan and myself. To amend the bylaws as follows. In the transferable ballot amended the proportional representation bylaw, change the following. N offices, C candidates, B ballots. Each ballot is a list of candidate names in order of preference with no minimum or maximum number. The voting algorithm is as follows. End quote. Change it to this. N offices, C candidates, B ballots. Each ballot is a list of candidate names in order of preference with no minimum or maximum number. None of the above, NOTA, is always included as a voting option, is treated as a candidate, and is never dropped. The voting algorithm is as follows. End of the replacement. Basically, it's just adding that sentence, clarifying that none of the above is always an option and how it's to be treated for voting. And I'll defer to Dean to discuss it if anybody wants to hear.
Yeah, Dean.
Basically, this is just a clarification. In the Libertarian Party, it's a unwritten rule that none of the above is always a candidate. And now it's going to be a written rule. Any questions? Why is that?
What happened?
Well, as libertarians, we feel the option of not having someone in power is, should always be an option.
Is there any objection to passing this bylaw? Hearing none, moves it unanimously. Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. It is time to elect a new glorious leader of the Maryland Libertarian Party. The floor is now open for nominations.
Nominate Eric Blitz.
Do you accept the nomination?
I do.
Okay. Anyone else wish to be nominated for chair of the Maryland Libertarian Party?
I will nominate Kyle O'Donnell.
Okay. Do you accept? Did you want to nominate somebody else, Mr. Cook?
Second.
Okay. Is anybody else wish to make a nomination for chair? By the way, if you're a central committee member, you can nominate yourself, whether for this or executive board.
Motion to close.
Any objection to closing nominations for chair? Hearing none, so moved. Again, always, as Dean just said, none of the above is one of the choices. Mr. Blitz, since you were nominated first, I'm going to give each of the candidates 3 minutes, and then we will open the floor for questions for 5 minutes. If we need more time, we will. But we'll start off with 3 minutes for the candidates each, and then 5 minutes for individual questions.
So my speech is a way of you reconsidering your no to vote. So, as many of you know, I have a lot of experience with the party and done a lot of different roles. Spent about 7 years acting as the legislative affairs director, doing all our legislative work in Annapolis. In 3 minutes, it's hard to say all the things I want to do because the list is just almost endless. But to give it a theme, I would say to build the relevance of the Libertarian Party of Maryland to Maryland politics. In everything we do, try to make ourselves relevant to their conversation, whether it's in the media or in Annapolis or even at the point where we're talking to individual voters at a booth. We're stressing how we are relevant. And the reason I think that that's a useful way of kind of a meta way of thinking about our activities is one of the things I hear the most is, I can't vote for you, I've got to vote for one of the Republicans or Democrats because you're not relevant. And that's what I want to overturn. I want to end the duopoly's control in Maryland. That isn't going to happen with the election of one chair of a state party, but I will help with working with the executive board, focus on goal-oriented, action-oriented things that we can do to build our relevance. One of the most important thing for me is that we reach 50,000 registrations. Right now, we're at 38.38%. We need to be at 1%, and by the time the Democrats, independents come back and re-register, you will be at 50. So you'll need 50. We probably won't be able to get that before 2022, but my argument to you as to why we should try so hard, and I'm talking about working at the same level of intensity that we did when we were petitioning, is it sets up our gubernatorial rate, our base. So when you have a lot of people out there trying to get registrations and engaging people, what we do is use registration process as a form of engagement and build the base for the gubernatorial race. So we get 1% in that, and then we will get to 50,000 eventually. I really want to improve our videos and presentations and distribution through a lot of Facebook advertising. We're going to re-engage Twitter a little better. I want to really improve our media presence. That's another thing of relevance. So I work with the Maryland Delaware Press Association, and we're going to start, what I would propose we do is place ads with them, letting them know we're there to answer for their editors what the libertarian response on any policy issue is. A lot more. I'll take your questions, but let's hear from Kyle.
Yeah. Thank you. Hey, now, Kyle O'Donnell.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you all today. I'm very excited about the future growth for our party. Thank you to Bob, Blitz, Woodward, Dassing, Sims, and Schlegel for all that you have done, your volunteering and leadership over the years. Regardless of who wins today, I know that the State Party will be in good hands.
Amen.
My name is Kyle O'Donnell, and I come from Talbot County, over on the Eastern Shore. If any of you would like to move out here, we have the lowest property value, or lowest property tax.
Not the value.
Not the value.
No.
But,
I wish.
I bring experience from three other state parties, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Ohio, and have attended numerous state conventions and national conventions over the years. One of the reasons why I wanted to run is that I believe that uncontested races are fundamentally corrosive to a healthy democracy. And I would like to encourage all of you to run for elected office if there is an uncontested race in your jurisdiction. This past year, I hosted the highest grossing fundraiser for LP Maryland, the Crab and Chicken Feast. During the last election cycle, I built and hosted seven websites for candidates across our country, and the payment processors processed donations of over $130,000 for libertarian candidates. Personally, I have donated over $4,000 to libertarian candidates and state parties over the past year alone. And while the Jorgensen campaign did many things well, one of the things they genuinely struggled with was getting physical materials to the states. And I saw this, you know, stumbling, and I said, I know graphic designers, I know vendors, I've been in the campaign business for a long time, and I just went and commissioned it. And I was the first person in the state to get Jorgensen yard signs, get Jorgensen door hangers, and get them out in the field. I move fast and I get things done. And we all want this state party to be the best that it can be. And to achieve that goal, I think there are some short and long-term goals that we can accomplish. In the short term, I think that we should spool up as many county or regional meetups as we can, because we need a presence in every county for our next gubernatorial race. And ultimately, all politics are local. I would like to see increased transparency throughout the state, and I would like to invite our local chairs to attend the executive board meetings, because I believe that all our growth, you know, happens at these local county chair events, at the state party events, and, you know, as the executive board, I would like to see our culture shift a little bit to be more towards serving these state coordinators and state chairs. You know, what help do they need? What's working well? What's not working well, so that we can kind of cross-pollinate ideas across the state counties, because I often see that the local counties are doing their own thing. You know, we put a lot of weight on our county coordinators, and the state and executive coordinators should help them grow more. You know, Indiana got a gubernatorial candidate on the debate stage with Rainwater. And Kentucky got on the debate stage with Brad Barron. And Maryland is also capable of getting a gubernatorial candidate on the debate stage. The time for growth is now. The time for more events is now. The time for more candidates is now. Thank you for your thoughtful consideration. Please vote O'Donnell for chair. Thank you.
And now I will open up the floor for a maximum of 5 minutes to questions for the candidates. Mr. Lasher.
I'd like to hear both candidates speak to the question
A lot of progress has been made in the last year for our digital platforms coming together and us being ready to grow with digital tools at our disposal. But I kind of feel from the outside, limited data points, that we're stuck right now. That we should be a little bit further along than we are. I'd like to hear both candidates speak to how we're going to complete the work of making ourselves digitally modern and efficient, and what their milestone deadline for doing so would be.
Mr. Blitz, you first.
Sure. So we spent a lot of time trying to implement the CRM system with National, only to find out that we weren't able to maintain our own WordPress website, and we had to use there. It was unacceptable to us, so we moved to HubSpot. We are working very hard. In fact, Kyle and Chris have done the lion's share of the work in getting that. The most important point I would make with respect to data is to not think about the technology that you're trying to apply, but to think about the uses of that technology that drive what form it takes. Because if you know that you're going to do walk lists, if you know that you're going to do membership call lists, if you know you're going to do phone banking, all these kind of tasks help you decide, okay, this is the information we have to track. And this is why we need to know whether this person came to this local event or not. So we have the beginning of that infrastructure being built. It's been heavily tied to the deployment of the website. And so as far as the timeline, I would say that we would really want to complete that within the next 2 days.
If elected chair, would that be your deadline goal?
Well, it would have to be, yes, it would be my goal. I'm not going to say that blindly that we will do this in my first 100 days.
Come on, Joe!
Simply because I know that what we tend to do is, you know, we're volunteer-oriented. So we've got volunteers that have to do this. And what happens is we deploy to one stage, and then we find out what else we didn't think of. And so what's going to happen is in the CRM space is we're going to then turn to our local chairs, okay, to start using that information. And that's where we're going to learn all the little things. So as far as the initial deployment, I think we're going to start in 2 months. The final thing where we're ready to have this be useful for candidates in 2022, I think that could take 3 or 4 months.
Mr. O'Donnell, would you like to?
Thank you for your question. I believe it's a valid criticism. As a state party, historically we've done well at in-person events, not as we see today. But one of the things we've struggled with during COVID times is that there are many other libertarians that don't want to come to in-person events. And thank you so much to Crystal for all that you do with your online work, and for trying out StreamYard, because we tried to go Facebook Live very recently. For the state party, for putting, you know, our state party Zoom out there. And so how can we make these tools more accessible so that we can do Facebook Live more frequently, not just at the state level, but at the local level as well? Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Does anybody else have a question for the candidates for chair?
I have a question, both candidates. We've had a lot of growth in the past year, and we know what that takes. How do we plan on retaining membership and active participants in the party? I've been a registered libertarian since 2013. It was just until December past year that I've gotten involved. And then I had to reach out for that to happen. For both candidates, what plans do we have locally and statewide to reach out to people that maybe are registered but don't participate? Maybe it just takes them being reached out to for them to actually volunteer the time and money.
Kyle, would you like to go first?
Engagement is crucial because we need to take these people that are registered L's and a little L of the church. We need to take people that are registered as libertarians and kind of convert them to being more active, whether that's coming to in-person events or online events or becoming monthly donors as well. And so how do we move, you know, someone along progression to become more engaged? And so we need to look at each communication channel that the state party has and use best practices for male, best practices for female, and, you know, coordinate with the state chairs. So, you know, we have a unified message from the state party that has both messages from the chair and messages from the state coordinator, you know, and kind of one consolidated communication, so that they're not getting hit up from the state party and from the counties.
Yeah, so what I would like to do is, one of the biggest frustrations I've seen for volunteers is they come to us and say, well, I'd like to get involved, and we don't exactly have anything for them to do right then and there. So we really need a better, I was talking to Tyler about this, this is a management issue. That is, it takes a lot of time to, and people to manage volunteers, to feel that they have the tools and the resources. So we're going to rely upon our action chairs at the state level, I mean at the local level, but really we need to have it more at the executive board for those areas that aren't really covered by an active local affiliate. I would like us to take up a program that's more like a corporate onboarding, so that when we have a new volunteer, they're often brought to the party through any number of different means, but we find out how they came and use that as a way of keeping them. So a lot of people come from recruitment by the caucuses. Okay, so one of our biggest stories is the recruitment through the caucuses. Making sure that that caucus has a mentor person that's there to say, come to the next event. Oh, by the way, because it's great to come to this meeting, to vote and all these things, but unless you're active and doing things, we're not really going to grow. So having those people kind of work friendly as a network form of approach to bring them on board, keep them with us. We're always going to get some people who say, you know, these libertarians are not for me. That's going to happen. It just happens to everybody. But I think if you look around the room today, we have a very strong base in Maryland. Where we can build, all we really need to do is now pick up the shovel and start action-oriented elements.
Does anybody else have a question for the chair candidates? Seeing none, I would like, as the outgoing chair, as someone who's put a third of my adult life into this position, I would like to ask...
Thanks, Bob.
Towards the end of the meeting, I will have comments for about 5 or 10 minutes. I would like to say a few minutes to comment on my potential successor. And both Kyle and Eric are aware I was going to make some comments. I've known Kyle O'Donnell for a year, and he's been fantastic. He's become a life member of party. He put in over $1,000. He organized that fabulous crab feast, which I hope is crab feast for life. And I say that as someone who does not eat crabs. I'm one of those few Marylanders who does not. He's been traveling all over and going to all kinds of events. He's helped out with the CRM and the website. He's really been great. I've known Eric Blitz for about 10 years now, and there's no one more important to this party than Eric Blitz. As an attorney, he's kept us out of trouble, out of liability. He has worked with our petition drives and our lawsuits. We fought 3 lawsuits trying to get back on the ballot with the states and the feds. We have been really fortunate to get free legal help from people. Unfortunately, Mark Rana, some of you know Mark, he was going to come and then he had to bow out. He's a partner at a DC law firm. Few of us in this room can afford his hourly rate or Eric's. And we've been very lucky to get free legal help from these guys. Eric has worked in Annapolis. He's helped craft legislation. He has had legislators come to him to work on bills. He is on a first-name basis with people at the ACLU, Common Cause, Drug Policy Alliance, and also the Republican Liberty Caucus. He also is the former town attorney for Chesapeake Beach and is working as a project developer on the development going in there. He's project manager of Bigger Park. So in other words, he has to know the zoning, the water and the sewer, the roads, the schools and school construction, the environment. He has to know that at the county, state, and federal level. He knows more about how the state works than anybody in this room, and that's essential because he can talk with the media, and like whereas I was just giving abstract answer, libertarian stuff, he knows exactly where the money's coming, going to, and the laws that need to be followed, as well as he does on gun laws and police reform and marijuana laws. This is not an indictment in any way of Kyle O'Donnell. I think Kyle's fantastic. I think one day he could be a very good chair. I think Eric, just the only thing where I'm pressing Eric is because of his experience and his knowledge. You also have to know how to run a meeting in parliamentary procedure. You need to know how to get those candidates on the ballot and what offices are up. You need to know the campaign finance laws and the contribution limits for federal and non-federal candidates. So that is why I am asking you to support Eric Blitz for this position. And Kyle, would you like to respond?
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Out of respect for the body's time, I'll gladly decline.
Thank you, Mr. O'Donnell. Dina Meyer.
Given your decision to make that speech, I think you should step down during the election as vice chair.
The vice chair is chosen by the executive board once they're already chosen.
The outgoing.
You mean to run the election?
Oh, okay. Point made. Okay. Would you like to? No, Crystal's the vice chair.
She's
the bathroom. So she accepts.
Okay. Would anybody object? Does anybody object, even having made that? Does anybody object to me serving as chair while we do the election? All those in favor of me chairing this election say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
The motion moves. But I do.
Is that an order? I'm sorry, Bob. I mean, you just elected here as chair.
Okay. No, point made. Does anybody have any objection to Dr. Lark? Since Crystal was in the bathroom, does anybody have an objection to Dr. Lark taking the chair? He's a former national chair. He's a 10-term member of the LNC. He knows parliamentary procedure as well as anybody, and he has no dog in his race, if you will. So does anybody object to Dr. Lark chairing while we do this election?
An elected executive board take up when you're going down the Steel Dagger Committee.
Say that again.
I object. David Dole, chair.
Do you object to Dr. Lark? Chair,
yeah, I think we can wait a couple of minutes for Crystal to come back.
All right, there she is right now. John, would you get Crystal? There you go. Okay. This is between Kyle and Eric, and none of the above, or what is one of the choices?
Sorry, I don't know where we are.
We're electing the chair.
I know that much.
Okay. Kyle and Eric, and none of the above are choices, so ask for a hand vote for each.
Okay. All those in favor of none of the above, please raise your hand. Let's get that one out of the way. All those in favor.
What was the count?
Zero. All those in favor of Eric Blitz for chair, please raise your hand.
And keep them up.
Keep them raised.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. I'm sorry. Start over. I tell you what. No. Let's do a serpentine count. Everybody
Bob
who wants.
Josh is cheating.
Everybody who wants Eric, please stand off and count. Stand up and count off, like we do at a national convention.
Send in your mail in ballot.
All right. Starting with Mr. Daniel Fishman. One. 2. 3. 4. 5. 2. 4. 5. 6. 7. 8. 9. 10. 11. 12. 13. 14. 15. 16. 17. 18. 19. 20. 21. 22. 23. 24. 25. 26. 27. 28. 29. 30. 31. 32. 33. 34. 35. 36. 37. 38. 39. 40. 41. 42. 43. 44. 45. 46. 47. 48. 49. 50. 51. 52. 53. 54. 55. 56. 57. 58. 59. 60. 61. 62. 63. 64. 65. 66. 67. 68. 69. 70. 71. 72. 73. 74. 75. 76. 77. 78. 79. 80. 81. 82. 83. 84. 85. 86. 87. 88. 89. 90. 91. 92. 93. 94. 95. 96. 97. 98. 100. 101. 102. 103. 104. 105. 106. 107. 108. 109. 110. 111. 112. 113. 114. 15. 16. 17. 18. 19. 20. 21. 22. 23. 24. 25. 26.
six.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Pause. Seven.
Eight.
Nine. Ten. 11. 12. 13. 14. 15. 16. 18. Oh, that's all right, Lorenzo. 19. Yes, you know whatever. 20. All right, coming off the table closest to me. 19.
19.
Oh, wait.
20.
21. 22.
37 in my proxies.
37 in my proxy.
I have two proxies also.
The proxy here too.
I think I had seven proxies,
plus
Robert.
Proxies. Oh, you had seven proxies. Did anyone that voted have proxies? Right, stand up again if you had proxies.
Whatever the small thing.
Two, one.
I think I'm
seven. Thank you.
I'm seven. Okay, so that's 10. Total proxies.
Yeah.
You got that. Okay, then for Kyle.
All those in favor for Kyle O'Donnell, please stand up.
What was the total count?
It was 10 proxies. Plus.
I mean, just the total count, so I care.
41 plus the proxies. 51.
What was the total number?
51.
Okay,
gentlemen.
Kyle.
No, these guys aren't.
Two?
Gentlemen, these guys aren't members of the central committee.
Okay, three. Okay.
Four.
Four. Five. Six. Plus seven. Ariel. Seven. Eight.
Nine.
Ten. Anyone left standing?
Thank you, Crystal. And we're going to be doing the executive board next, so please hang out here. So, I get 42 to 10.
You said 51. You told me 51.
Total, yes, that's right.
Even though Brock's
correct.
51 total with Brock.
Correct. Good. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the new chair, Eric J. Blake. And I also want to thank Kyle O'Donnell for his spirited battle. Are we going to be able to put the candidates for executive board on the screen? Phil Dassey. We're going to do the executive board next. Will we be able to put the candidates on the screen?
Yeah, if someone wants to get their laptop ready, mine's all set up for Zoom. So
okay.
If someone else has their computer, all you have to do is
or, I guess we could just do one on this. And
do you have HDMI on this? Would you like to put it in something else? Okay, I can see the look.
Okay. We'll do it old school.
Adam has a laptop there. So
you got it right there?
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
No, the 51 was with the plus 10.
51 for one candidate. That's a total of 61 votes. We only have 45 plus 13, which is 58 members.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you said you have a small discrepancy.
Yeah.
Who moves to accept the numbers anyway?
Find out if
Did you
count the proxy votes originally?
You have an updated production. Somebody got it.
Hey, Crystal, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We had three more votes than possible. Some people who came in. What I'm going to suggest is, would you go around individual to person, get their vote, just so we can get a more accurate count? Okay. May I have your attention, please? Wait, may I have your attention, please? Some new people may have come in recently because we wound up having more votes than we had at the end of the Credentials Committee report. So Ms. Woodworth is going to, while we're setting up for this, getting the screen set up, Ms. Woodworth is going to go around the room person to person to get specifically who you voted for so we can get an accurate number.
I move that we accept the results.
Quiet. Please, quiet. Please, quiet. Mr. Fishman.
I move that we vote to accept the results and move on.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of Mr. Fishman's motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, Dan.
I tell you, while they're getting the equipment set up, I would like to invite our new executive director, Tyler Harris, to come up and speak for a few minutes on what's going on with the national office.
All right, well, thank you. Hello, Maryland Libertarians. Incredible. This is absolutely incredible, the turnout and the energy and the excitement that we are seeing here today is typical of what's going on at the party all around the country, and it is heartening to be in the room with everybody. I am still up here slightly baffled that in a room with so many heavy hitters and tremendous activists and incredible libertarians, somebody handed me a microphone. But no, it's remarkable, and I'm very pleased to say that this is typical of what we are seeing all around the country right now. We've had incredible membership growth, as Bob said earlier, not just in Maryland, but around the country. We've had an incredible number of our members commit to be monthly pledgers to National. We've seen that number grow by 80% in the last year. 80%. And that's an important number, because that's the number of people that support the day-to-day work of our national party, that support our staff members, that support our new activism coordinator, that is building out a strategic grassroots activism plan to see libertarian activists and volunteers activate all around the country. We're trying to make a pipeline of volunteers on the their point of contact. That's where the opportunities are. That's where we build out the strength of our organization. And that infrastructure is being built in the National Party, too. So that next year, when I'm standing in this room with even more Maryland libertarians than we have today, and your new chair is bragging about all of the avenues through which volunteers come to the party, the National Party is a part of that equation as well. We want to support the infrastructure and support our affiliates in doing all of that. We've got incredible campaign teams that are out there working with candidates. This past month, we have added 7 new elected libertarians to the over now 230 elected libertarians around the country. And so we're building out the infrastructure. We're training field teams to work with those candidates. We're training affiliate leaders around the country. We've got trainings in every single one of our 8 regions that are going to be scheduled for this year. We're bringing people from all over the country and all over the region together to help create stronger activists and stronger organizations to put resources and tools in the hands of you, that the core and the heart of the party. I will implore you, if you are not a member of the National Party, I have to get the pitch in, my boss is here on the back of the room. If you're not a member of the National Party, go to lp.org/join and become a national member. Even if you are, please consider becoming a monthly pledger and giving us that stable monthly contribution that we can use to fund those efforts that we have going on out in the field. I can't tell you how much it means to us to be able to have a reliable source of income, a reliable source of resources that we can then turn back out and put into good grassroots activism like is happening in this room. So thank you guys so much. I hope I achieved brevity.
You did. You're beautiful.
Thank you. Rock on. Go Maryland.
Phil, are you ready to go?
I'm ready. One more minute.
Okay, while we're doing that, I would like Mr. Fishman to come up and speak briefly. My former boss. Be nice to him.
Thank you very much, Bob. Guys, thank you so much. I am so proud to be a member of the Libertarian Party of Maryland.
Yeah!
I've seen what you guys have done. Welcome me in with open arms. I am excited about activism with all of you guys. I want to talk very briefly. May 1st is the National Libertarian Day of Service. Okay? It's just a time when we get together and we're going to do something. It doesn't matter what it is. And the thing that we're working for is joy. Because if you think about what's happening right now, there is joy in each one of us because we are assembled together with fellow libertarians. Yep. That is the best feeling in the world.
However
we choose to be assembled, that is us. I don't want to say Avengers assembled because I'll be sued for copyright. However, National Libertarian Day of Service, May 1st, you want to find out more about it, People4Liberty.org/NLDOS. National Libertarian Day of Service. We're all going to get together. I'm going to say it one more time. People4Liberty.org/NLDOS. National Libertarian Day of Service. And let's get more of that joy. Let's all get together and do something to make the world more free on May 1st. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan. Mr. Bliss is going to speak briefly. The new chair of the LDMD, Cecilia Elmas Grande. Thank you.
You know, for the last 10 years or so, there was a brief period where I wasn't on the executive board, but I attended a lot of executive board meetings. And Bob Johnston was there at every one of them, leading us. He's been working really hard for this party. 14 years as a state chair is a long time. It's, as you can imagine, working with libertarians that are volunteers, they're trying to do their best for liberty at the local level and at the state, takes a lot of work at the top to manage. And I just want to take the time to thank Bob for his 14 years of service. We have a card, Mr. Johnston, many people have signed.
Excellent.
And Bob is an aficionado of beer. And many of us have brought a slew of beer that we couldn't bring in because of the liquor license.
You say they couldn't bring it in?
But as we're libertarians, we've always got a rebel. Your license.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got a whole, if you brought beer and you want to add that to the pile, you're going to bring it out to the back of my car, where we have a whole trunk full of very specialized beers in thank you to Bob Johnston for his many of the service.
Thank you.
I'll put it on some of my drinks in the street.
planning board years on the executive board.
Administration, Mr. Blair.
Yes.
Is there possibly a before and after photo of Mr. Johnson as chair?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
That is a really good idea that we could plaster on the front of the website. You know, a get a picture of Bob in 2006.
I may have had a head of hair like Lorenzo, man, back in the day, back at that point.
Well, that's a very hairless. I can't abide by that.
Thank you, Eric.
Yes.
Let's hear it for Bob Johnson.
Thank you all. Thank you for the card. And thank you. Gracias por las cervezas. They will be consumed, I assure you. Phil, how are we doing? Ready to go.
Adam,
ready?
No.
Okay, while they're setting that up, let's take the nominations now, because it's probably going to take a couple of minutes. You can nominate yourself if you're a Central Committee member, or you can nominate somebody else. I am going to make the first nomination, and that is for Kyle O'Donnell. Do you accept?
Yes!
Is the floor is now open for other nominations.
How many are there?
There are 6 spots open. This includes secretary, treasurer, and vice chair. If you're, and I will tell you now, people on the executive board do stuff, okay? This meeting, Robert Glazer and I, the secretary, both spent a lot of this week getting ready for this, the treasury reports. This is not an easy thing to do. Crystal, volunteer extraordinaire. Stu Sins has been one of the most generous people in the party. He uses airline points to fly our the speaker on homeschooling down, and he did with our former chair, came to our meeting in 2018. So, you know, be prepared. If you want to be on the executive board, welcome, and be prepared to do stuff. And Phil Dassing has been great with setting up the event. Dina Mott, you're first.
I wish to nominate Crystal Woodward to be on the executive.
Crystal, do you accept?
Yes.
Okay. Other nominations? Mr. Dassing. I think people know my Phil.
I nominate Alex Schlegel.
Alex Schlegel, do you accept, Alex?
I accept.
Okay. Crystal.
Nominate David Bell.
Do you accept?
You don't have to second. Shut up.
Second.
Other nominations.
Dillator.
Dr. Glazer.
Robert Johnson III.
I accept. I am going to nominate Robert Glazer, our current secretary. Do you accept?
Yes.
Good.
Mr. Boyd, do you accept, Stu?
Yep.
Stu Sims. Anybody else? Seeing none, nominations are now closed. Adam, are we ready to go? Okay, we have eight positions for 6 spots. While we're waiting where we get to the point where we can get people up, I would like to ask our former regional rep, Dr. Jim Lark, if he would like to come up and speak for a few minutes in his retirement from being on the LNC. For those of you who have not met Dr. Lark, he's a professor of statistical engineering at the University of Virginia. He's the former national chair. He's a 10-term regional rep on the LNC, hardcore Virginia Tech Hokie, and all-around a great guy.
Unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, as always, it's wonderful to see my friends in the Libertarian Party of Maryland. I usually know
that's the whole nominations, the people.
I am honored to be in the presence of heroes in a movement for liberty. And so I always enjoy coming up here and seeing such wonderful people, true paladins of liberty.
And we you.
I'd like to thank and congratulate Eric Blitz or offer condolences. That's also appropriate. I have known Mr. Blitz for several years. I think he is a truly splendid fellow, a great choice to serve as the chair of the Maryland Libertarian Party. I have worked with him, again, many, many, many years. I can't think of somebody in whom I have greater trust, somebody who I think will do a truly wonderful job. From what I know of Mr. O'Donnell, everything that, by the way, I've heard of Mr. O'Donnell has been outstanding. And so
he's pretty awesome.
The awesomeness quotient here is really, really high. I'd like to take a moment to thank my good friend Bob Johnston for his service. Again, I've worked with a lot of truly great people in this movement, and Bob is truly one of the best. I'd like to emphasize one point. I was a jock in my younger days. Basketball and soccer were and are my passions. And like a lot of men my age, the older I get, the better I used to be. 2 years from now, NBA All-Pro. 3 years from now, World Cup star. And one of the things that I was, as frequently I had the opportunity to serve as captain of my teams. And one of the things about being the captain was you always had to take responsibility. And you always, if you were a good captain, you shared credit. Bob Johnston is one of those people who always shares the credit. He makes it clear that he has been relying upon his teammates. He always makes it clear that people who have deserved the response or who have deserved credit always receive it. He also has always taken responsibility. By the way, responsibility, by the way, is not blame. He may be blameless, but he has always taken responsibility. And that is a mark of great leadership. And I think the Libertarian Party of Maryland has been extremely fortunate to have such a man in the captain's chair. I've encouraged him at some point to seek a position on the Libertarian National Committee. He has very sensibly turned this down. And yet we're still friends, I'm pleased to say. Ladies and gentlemen, if I may request as a personal favor.
Take it now.
Please stand and give this man the applause that he deserves.
There he is.
Thank you, Paul. Very kind of you. And thank you, Jim. By the way, as I mentioned earlier before, the LNC has disbursed to us about at least $80,000 during my term as chair to get back on the ballot, and Jim was a major part of getting that done, along with also our party friend Bill Redpath, who has since moved from Virginia to Illinois. So thanks for all he's done for the party and also for college libertarians. Are we ready to go, Adam? Or whoever's running. Are we ready to go with the executive board?
Right here.
Okay. What I'm going to ask, we have 8 people running for 6 positions. What I'm going to ask is everybody take a minute to introduce yourself and why you run. Want to run. Time is getting tight, and we still have quite a bit of stuff to do. You can use that minute for speaking on to behalf of somebody else if you like. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to support Robert Glazer for secretary. He is very meticulous in what he does with his job. He has also produced the newsletter for 20 years plus in a row. It's longer than I've been in the party, 3 times a year, and very few state parties continually have a newsletter going, and Robert has kept it done.
Please stop making comments about the
candidates. Okay. Individual, somebody is not allowed to...
Not as chair.
Okay. Oh, okay. Your point is made. I apologize for that. I should not have done that as chair. Dean is correct. Who would like to speak on behalf of somebody else or themselves? Mr. Dole.
What?
Mr. Dole, you have a minute. Would you like to speak on behalf of you running or speak for somebody else?
Do it, Dave. Do it. Focus on yourself.
Good afternoon. So we haven't done speeches for any candidates since I joined in 2018. So I'm sorry I didn't have a. Hold on. Here's my prepared my speech. We want your feedback. Oh wait. So many of you know I'm David Dahl, Anne County Chair. Probably know me from my works there. I want to bring that grassroots attitude to the Libertarian Party exec board. I was there the year before last. Most of you know we had seven candidates run for six positions last year, so I just stepped down. I was like, so we don't have to have a vote. I think last year we were in the middle of voting for our national candidates, for our delegates, and that actually took longer than the meeting itself, so I just, to avoid voting, I just stepped down. You know what I do at the county level, that's what I want to do at the state level. It's awesome to see 70 fucking people filling this room. We haven't had that in a long time. So let's continue this growth. Let's grow our local affiliates. Let's get our grassroots involved. Stop looking to me to tell you what to do and start asking me what I can do to help you do what you want to do.
Thank you. Hi, all done.
I would like to
go to the transcript
if you
come on that. Okay, sure. Mr. Cook?
Sir?
Sure.
How's it going, everybody? So happy to be. I second everyone's, you know, comment that it's amazing to be in a room with so many other libertarians because it's the most beautiful time of the year. Every time we get together, I'm very excited about it. Now, in particular, Kyle, I've had the pleasure. I'm on the Eastern Shore. Kyle is one of my main go-tos on the Eastern Shore. He's inspired me. He's brought me into more of an activist role. And I couldn't have, you know, asked for a better ally on the Eastern Shore. Kyle is tireless and skillful. He doesn't ever stop. Anytime he needs to be done or organized, Kyle's already there. You don't even have to ask him. And to match that, he's extremely intelligent. He's always, you know, looking in ways that he can contribute and bring everyone together. And combine that with his technical skill and, you know, just his personality, he would be a wonderful addition to the executive board. And I want to see where he brings this party in the future.
Yes.
Crystal Woodworth.
I'm just going to talk with him.
Okay. Alex, my former Dundalkian neighbor, Alex Schlegel.
Thank you, Bob.
Sure.
Bob, thank you.
So this gentleman reached out to me, and he came to Campaign for Liberty meetings during the 2008 and 2012 Ron Paul revolution. I checked out of the party. The first person I ever voted for was Harry Brown. I voted for Michael Panera. The direction of the party, kind of, I don't know. I went Ron Paul revolution, thinking maybe the Republican Party was the answer. No, it's not. It's not, folks. Everybody knows this. We all know this. This is why we're all here. Okay? We're all in this room because libertarian ideas and principles, and everybody in this room that I've met along the way is the reason. And long story short, that's all I want to do is just keep it moving forward, reach out to the wider liberty movement, grow this. Because let's face it, the state's not going to stop stating. Okay? Like, James Bovard's going to speak here tonight, right? He's going to speak about Duncan Lent. Literally a couple days ago, Peyton Ham was fucking murked by the state police in Leonardtown. We need to be bold and we need to be brave. So that's why I'm running, and I accept your vote. And let's just keep it moving forward. That's all I'm saying. Let's keep it moving forward. Let's grow the lift.
Thank you, Al. Robert Glazers. Robert Al in the hallway. And if everyone is speaking myself. While we're waiting, it's Stu Sims.
I'll be very brief.
Been around a long time. It's not good institutional memories, which means
or should be institutionalized. And my memories go.
Take the mask off.
Oh, yeah. I'll go liberating. Whether I'm reelected or not, I will continue to work for this party, and I hope I get reelected, but if not, it's quite all right. And I will continue to put on events like this. Hopefully everybody's having a good time. Thank you. Enjoy.
Thank you, Mr. Trump. Good back.
I'll just talk from here.
Okay.
Just want to thank you guys for coming out. I spent the last year on the board, and I love the experience on it. I'm committed to growing the party. I've done that over the course of the year, and I just want to continue to do that, continue having events, doing whatever we can to get, people elected, get people showing up, and people active again. I've done that all last year, and I'm still going to do it whether I'm elected or not. I'd love to reiterate that point, too. I'm here. Regardless, you got me.
Crystal, is Robert putting balance in the hallway? Okay, let him keep doing what he's doing, since I already de facto spoke on it. While we're waiting for the ballots to be printed and then we'll be able to vote, I would like to ask our current national chair, Joe Bishop Henchman, to come on up and speak for a few minutes and let us know what's going on in the national hall.
How much time are we on?
Five minutes. Think of those.
Stand up if this is your first statement. All right, you can sit down. Bob, I've got six pieces of paper here. Can you hand one out to each of your six favorite people in the room?
I cannot because I love everyone here.
Right. How about the outgoing exit?
Okay, that I can do.
All right. He's doing that.
How about a joke? Why are libertarians so bad at knock-on jokes? I woke up in Iowa this morning, but had to write back to make sure that I screwed it up.
How are we doing on the balance?
I'm just ready to print. I don't know if it's
it's tough getting the focus that we need for it, and because the pandemic is hard to assign distances. And my response was, well, who do we need to hire and who do we need to sue to turn this around? And we did turn it around. And last November, Joe Jorgensen and Spike Cohen were on ballot in all 50 states and D.C. Every American had a choice between three people on their ballot, Joe Jorgensen and two other people. And we're very excited about that. And, so I was elected on the platform of getting this party out of startup mode. So I'd like to share some of the facts and figures related to that. So Bob's handed out some pieces of paper. Who got one of them? Stand up and say what it is. All right, Jim?
693,000.
All right. Anybody know what 693,000? So there are... You don't count. There are 30 states plus District of Columbia that have partisan voter registration, and 693,000 Americans checked the libertarian box on their voter registration. That's double what it was 10 years ago. Democrats, they're growing at like 2%. Republicans are even where they can be. Some states they're declining. Greens are like up 1%. We're growing 5-8% a year. Impressive work. And of course, there's 20 states that don't have partisan registration, so if you were to extrapolate out, it's a million self-identified.
So can we congratulate ourselves earlier for 21,000
Spike is speaking exactly at 6 o'clock.
You've got 30 seconds
to spend. 90. Any guesses on 90? One in 90 Americans voted for Joan Spike. Wow. And I bring this up because, so I'm a Gold Star Libertarian. I've never been a Democrat or a Republican. I've always been a Libertarian. I voted for Harry Brown also. It can sometimes feel alone being a Libertarian. It can sometimes feel like you're the only one out there who's a Libertarian. But next time you're in a crowd, when we can do crowds again, one in 90 Americans voted for Joan Spike.
Alright,
next
you
one.
Do crowds now.
Yeah, next one.
50 plus DC.
Alright, you know what 50 plus DC is, though, right?
Ballot access.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to talk just like the challenges that we face with ballot access that we've overcome in states like Maryland and elsewhere. Say, like Wisconsin, for instance, where I'm going next week. There's a guy who wanted to be on the ballot named Kanye West, and he spent millions of dollars and hired hundreds of people to try to do it. And he shows up, and so he managed to get the signatures. He managed to get the signatures, and he shows up at the office to turn them in, not him, one of the people. And there's a sign on the door that says, due to everything, the office is closed, call this number, we'll come down and let you in. So the lady goes back to her car, calls the number, they come down, let her in, she goes up, turns in the signatures, they stamp them and everything, and then they say, you're 12 seconds late.
Wow.
So you're not going to be on the ballot.
That's bullcrap.
So he appeals that, and that goes to the Wisconsin Election Commission, which is made up of 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans, to decide that appeal. And you may be surprised to learn that they decided he should not be on the ballot.
Really?
This is the step that we have to deal with all the time. And they voted 6-0 to put us on the ballot, not because they liked us, but because we did not give them an inch to be able to exploit to keep us off the ballot. And that's through the hard work of Bill Redpath, Bob Johnson, and everybody who's worked on the ballot access, and all of you who helped get petition signatures. Now, I'm a lawyer by training. I created my own job, basically, where I sue state tax administrators and the IRS over and over again all over the country. About $10 billion of tax cuts to my name, and it's a lot of fun work, and I've testified to about 36 state legislatures, and actually doing a webinar tomorrow on how to win the policy battle in the legislature, so if you're interested in that, let me know, and we'll talk about it. But the big thing that I'm doing right now with the National Party is being more proactive in our ballot access work, not just in the petitioning, but in the legislative outreach, in the litigation work. So just this last week, in Texas, Texas LP was on the ground in the state capitol fighting an unfair ballot access bill. We'll see where it goes. We just won an attempt in New Mexico. This is literally just Friday. A judge threw out a lawsuit attempting to take away our major party status. We're trying to make sure that we are proactive in our ballot access fight and not just reactive. Next card. Yes, sir.
Bob gave this out to his favorite people, so when voting, note that.
54%. I think this will be the last one, because we got to get going with the election. Anybody know what 54% is?
Majority.
It is a majority. Very good.
Percent of the electorate voted?
Close.
Percent of the Republican and Democrat.
Yeah. So,
looking for a third party.
One of the big things I promised when I ran for chair, because it bugged the hell out of me, and I knew it was going to be a reach of a promise, but I still made it anyways, to get libertarians back into state legislatures. Because it had been 20 years since we had elected a libertarian to a state legislature. And honestly, it's selfish on my part, because my job is to go around the country and get Democrats and Republicans to do libertarian things with tax policy. And I have to, because there were no libertarians in state legislatures. But in November, Marshall Burton, Wyoming, won 54% of libertarians. And since then, we picked up John Andrews in Maine, so now we have two state legislatures. The first of many. And so how did Marshall Burt do it? He knocked on every door in his district 6 times. He's active in his community. He phone banked. He had messaging that worked. All the things that you have to do to win elections. And so we're working hard. We're at National, we're rolling out a 16-course campaign certification program that you can take and learn a lot of these skills. In Alaska today, they're doing an excellent training that's being videotaped. You should watch it. And Marshall Burt's doing amazing stuff. The word of the year in the Wyoming legislature this year was tripartisan. If you wanted your bill to pass, you need to get Democrats to support it, Republicans to support it, and Marshall Burt to support it. And they did everything they could to win him over, but he's a good, solid libertarian. They even let him hold the gavel for one day, making him the first libertarian to chair a state legislative session. But again, not the last. So, yes.
Was that a two-way race or a three-way race?
It's a two-way race. So, and, yeah, we got some ways of maneuvering that in order to make that. So,
it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
And of course, I'm just down the road living in Washington, D.C.
My sympathies.
Yeah, I'm also a Maryland barred lawyer, so if you ever get arrested, you may call. Let me join everybody in thanking you for
your
time.
Thank you. The ballots are still being printed, so I would like to suggest they're ready to go.
They should be they're probably ready.
Okay.
This should be completely self-explanatory, but on the ballot, and I printed out 58 ballots because that's how many potential people we have. You have to print your name. You must be a central committee member. Don't take a form if you're not a central committee member. Print your name. Sign your name in a separate spot. Each of the 9 candidates are listed in alphabetical order. Underneath of it, there's spots, 1 to 9. Put in order your choice of what your candidates are, from left to right, under 1 to 9. And use the, I have a 3-letter designation, which is the first 3 letters of the last name. Use those, because we have to type these into the computer, and last year it took forever. So, just put your name in the order. That's all I have to say.
Great. Thank you, Robert. Mr. Linder. Dean Ahmad, since this is your voting system, we'll speak on it. Please. Quiet, please. Dean Ahmad is about to speak.
It is up to 9, because if one of the candidates that you voted for gets eliminated for any reason, you don't want your vote to be eliminated. You want it to go on down to the next person. If you're not supporting all 9, then don't put all 9. Put as many as you support. If you're against the ones that you're not voting for, put none of the above, so that your vote will actually not only not go to the other people, but will go against them.
Now, we're doing this where number 1 is our first choice.
Number 1 is your first choice. Number 2 is your second choice. Number 3 is your third choice.
Number
4
is our fourth.
He catches on fast. All right. Any other questions?
How do you put the proxies on that?
You'll have to get a ballot for the proxy.
It'll be faster if you just list the names of the
proxies on the form, assuming you want to vote the same.
If that's the case, do your proxies want to vote the same way you do?
Oh, yeah.
In that case, you may do that, yes.
Any other questions?
Yes, it's ranked choice voting. We practice what we preach. We joke about it, but we practice what we preach.
Thank you, Dean. Folks, please get voting. We've got about 20 minutes to go with this meeting, okay? And we have stuff to do. So please vote. Let us know when you're done, and we'll come around and collect them.
We have exactly
what we said. Yeah. We dropped this in the ballot box.
Okay, the Central Committee members that do not have a ballot that would like a ballot.
Here.
I gave mine to our.
Hey,
I think your Mr. Glazer is coming back.
Anybody else need a ballot?
Vice Chair.
Attention, please. May I have your attention?
I know you're all excited to be here, and Gideon and everything. I am too. Those of you who have ballots, please take them back into the alcove. The Robert Glazer will start counting them. And now we're going to proceed with the meeting. I'm going to ask, may I have your attention, please? I'm going to ask to suspend the agenda, and I would like to do the Chase Award now. Is there any objection to suspending the agenda to move up now to the Chase Award? Hearing none, so moved. I would first like to invite Dean Ahmad to come up to discuss the significance and historical background of the award, and then Lorenzo Gastaniaga will make the presentation. Mr. Mooney.
No items are being removed from the agenda, just the Chase being moved forward.
Correct. That's correct. And now, Dean Ahmad.
Thank you, Mr. Bob. The Samuel Chase Award was instituted in the 1980s. It was first called the Libby Award, which was an affectionate term for liberty or libertarian. However, one of our members, Kurt Kasten, thought it should be given a more dignified name and not be named after canned vegetables. So it was at his suggestion that we adopted the Samuel Chase Award. That in itself proved controversial, as Samuel Chase was a somewhat controversial character, having been impeached. But he was not successfully removed from office. It's pretty much been, I think the historical judgment is that Jefferson was just angry with him because Chase had established the independence of the judiciary. And support that. The award is given to the person who has contributed the most to the growth and development of the Maryland Libertarian Party on an ongoing basis, not for a single contribution. The first winner was Irwin Vogel, and I know there are only a few of us in this room who remember Irwin Vogel, but Irwin Vogel was the first person to run for office as a libertarian in Maryland, and one of a very few people, I think there's only two, the other being Jerry Schneider, who's sitting over there, who ran for state delegate. We need more people to run for lower offices. They're the ones that win, and then later they run for higher offices. So we recognized him by giving him that award. And he received the award on October 31st, 1987, at a convention, and it's been the custom to give the awards at the convention since. The award that he was given included three 1-ounce 1987 American Eagle silver coins, which were purchased at the time from the party's presidential candidate, Ron Paul.
Yeah!
Now, there's a name you all know. along with a proclamation. Since then, there have been a number of winners, and in this room is Gerald Schneider. Also ran for state delegate and got 19% of the voters in his district voted for him. That's not the 54% we heard about before, but remember, this was in the 1980s. Then your humble servant Pierre received an award. Looking to the list, trying to find the name you'll recognize. Lorenzo and Susan Gastineau. Yes.
Tony's not here.
Tony's not here. Okay. But Tony got the award because Tony, you know how everybody hates the petition? I don't know if Tony hates the petition, but he doesn't. He goes out there time after time after time, very effectively. The late Doug McNeil got an award. He is the one who normally gives this little speech right now that I'm giving. He passed away. Robert Glazer got the award. Joe Miller got the award. Bob Johnson got the award. And the last four recipients were Mark Franis, Arvin Bora, Eric Blitz, and David.
What? That's okay. Go ahead.
David Spence.
Just didn't hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. That's the history of the award, and now do I introduce
Okay. And now to present the award, Lorenzo Gastineau. I will have you know, Lorenzo was the first Maryland libertarian I met. I was working as a courier in the 90s. I was looking for a parking space downtown behind the Fuddruckers building, which had the best parking that nobody knew about. And this guy was looking, needed change while he was picking up his wife from work. And next thing, we've been friends 25 years later. Lorenzo.
You never know who you're going to meet when you're calling, and you need quarters. And so I asked this gentleman if he could help me with a quarter or two so that I could see the meeting and not get a ticket. And he obliged, and then the rest is history. I'm here to present this, and this is a wonderful opportunity to do this. No microphone?
Hold it closer to your mouth.
Closer to my mouth?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go again. I'm very pleased to be able to do this. This is a tremendous opportunity. I have worked and I have observed other people run for office. People like Spear Lancaster, people like Dean Ahmad, and others too. But I hate to play favorites, but there's one guy who he just really batted it out of the park. This man campaigned like it was the end of the world. He wore more shoe leather, and he put more miles on his truck, and the truck already had a lot of miles. Okay. And this gentleman, well, thank God he's here. Sean Quinn.
I'm surprised.
Well, here's your certificate. And this particular coin is not the prettiest looking coin. This particular coin is not the prettiest looking coin. It's actually well-worn Morgan. And it's this coin represents what happened to his shoes, what happened to his truck, and all the long hours of sweat and endeavor and being plain old tired. Very tight.
Very tight.
And you still did it. You went to events. You drove long time, but you live in Southern Maryland. And so this is yours, my friend.
Thank you so much.
You want me to say something? Oh, real quick.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you that were on my campaign trail and know how much I ran, I'm not going to talk real long. I just want to say that you can't do it by yourself. That man right there even put on a leprechaun suit and went to the office with me. So you can't do these things by yourself. And if you don't think that everybody in this room is important, you're fooling yourselves, because every single one of you make it worth the trips. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we now have a constitutional amendment. Dr. Glazer, would you like to read it off, or I can do it myself? Okay. Basically, specifically, a written petition of 20% or more of the members of the State Central Committee is at the close of the previous Central Committee meeting may call a meeting of the State Central Committee for a specified stated purpose. Why we did this is that there are generally four ways to call a meeting: the chair, the vice chair, a majority of the executive board, or state-recognized Central Committees. Since we don't have any state-recognized Central Committees, this is a way of somebody, a group, being able to call a meeting if they are not on the executive board. Does anybody have any comments, any questions? Ms. Woodward.
I would like to point out that we're supposed to be doing happy hour now, as our guests have paid extra money to socialize with our speakers. And is there something that we can do to postpone this portion of the meeting to another date?
That is up to the body. Let us at least finish this motion first.
Okay.
And then we can move on to that. Does anybody have any questions or comments on the constitutional amendment? Hearing none, let's go to a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. It passes. Okay.
I move that we recess.
Second.
Do you want to recess or adjourn?
Recess. We've got five more, and I think we're constitutionally required to at least open the question of platform. And Kyle had a platform, and other people had.
At what time shall we? Because Spike's speaking at 6.
Let's do 5:45, and we better be ready to go with platform.
Okay. We are recessed. Oh, I would love. Is there a second? Is there any objection to recessing until 5:45? Hearing none. We are recessed.
This is a complicated ballot system. Christopher Woodworth is elected. Kyle O'Donnell is elected. Phil Dowsing is elected. I am elected.
Please, everybody.
Two offices remain to be filled. Either one or more candidates must withdraw, or those with the lowest above to vote totals are forced to withdraw. So, of the remaining people, which is Dahl, Johnson, Schlegel, and Sims, do any of you wish to withdraw? Okay, so I will forcibly withdraw the lowest vote count. The lowest vote count is Stuart Sims, and I have to go to the next ballot.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we are now going to we are now out of recess and continuing with the meeting. Next up, Bill Dowsing has a resolution.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So the resolution reads: Whereas the instituting of a database of citizens' personal health care decisions that tracks your health status is not a constitutionally recognized function of government, and whereas the collusion between government and private business in creating and implementing such a database creates an intrusive surveillance system and could result in a tyrannical medical caste system, and whereas a resulting vaccine passport system infringes on people's freedom of movement and to go about their normal lives, therefore, the Libertarian Party of Maryland opposes in the strongest possible terms any and all attempts to institute a vaccine passport system in the state of Maryland. Thank you.
Is there a second?
Yeah.
Does any, there are a lot of supporters. Is there anyone who wishes to speak out against this resolution?
Yes, I do.
George Schneider.
Oh, I think in the one area that really
can't. Sorry, can we take? We can't hear you. Give him the mic.
Take your mask off.
I think in the one area where libertarians sometimes slip up is in what's called the common good and self-defense. If it's true, and admittedly there's some controversy, that we need herd immunity in order for all us to be protected, then self-defense requires that we do something in the commons where other people are involved. By saying this statement, which is, I think, more radical, I might say that we should leave it to people and individuals and organizations to decide how they would recognize that people have been vaccinated. But if it's true that we need herd immunity, and I think it is from the medical science point of view, which I'm more oriented towards, as a self-defense mechanism, I want to know who's vaccinated. I think everybody should know who's vaccinated, especially when you get together. I was very concerned about coming here. I'm fully vaccinated, but I'm old enough to get that. But I worry a little about it. And I think under the self-defense principle, which is a libertarian principle, that we should not be opposed to the idea of something like a passport. The specifics of what should be involved, that's another story. But it is the commons. Someone has to deal with the commons when it's not in private ownership. And government is the logical one to do that, unless you have some sort of other alternative government to do that. So I oppose this resolution as it's worded for those reasons.
Thank you, Jerry. Does anybody else wish to speak out against the resolution? Phil, since
I'll speak for
him. I know a lot of people speak for Phil. Since you made the motion to do so, would you like to speak to it?
I think any vaccine system would require anything would require government intrusion. It doesn't matter. There's no private vaccine pass because it can be easily fraudulent, and businesses will seek with collusion with government to make sure that there is no fraud being committed when it comes to who is vaccinated, what's real, what's not. So any attempt at all vaccine passports will be collusion with government.
Yeah. You hear?
Yeah. Anybody else wish to speak out against the resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Resolution passes. Thank you. The recommended platform changes.
I need to make a motion because we're out of time,
and yet we did a lot of work at the platform committee. A lot of people participated through a Zoom meeting, and we had a lot of recommendations. The platform committee recommendations would probably take you about an hour, and we just don't have it. Under our Constitution, the platform committee recommendations need to be considered at this convention. I am making a motion to suspend the rules to move the consideration of the existing platform committee to the next State Central Committee meeting, which is held at the annual picnic, that the Truth Secretary, whomever it is responsible for giving notice to those State Central Committees to have that notice be sent out according to the State Constitution, and to waive the requirement that the There is a requirement in our Constitution that the committee will meet at least 7 days and not more than 90 days prior to the first day of the annual convention. They did that, but if we were considering it at the next State Central Committee meeting, that provision would be violated. So that's a suspension of the rules, a suspension of our Constitution, requires a two-thirds vote. And the only reason I'm making it is we just have run out of time. I'd like to
one of the major contributors to the platform committee was Kyle O'Donnell. And I'd like to at least hear from Kyle whether he agrees with this motion so that we understand that this is a completely above board and open process. Mike, before you go, Kyle, we have questions. Mr. Linder.
I know we're supposed to be in person right here. Is there any way we can say, whoever, we have the names of the Senate committee here, ask them to send in their votes electronically, email, not email you, by calling you up? We do that together the next 30 days?
I don't think we don't have the process in our bylaws or our constitution to accomplish that. I wish we did, although for central committee meetings that's a little precarious just because you create the opportunity for some people to all of a sudden not participate. So it's like having a national convention but only inviting some people. It's probably not a good idea. Yes, sir, Mr. Costa.
Can you repeat the timeline pre- and post-convention for a central committee meeting?
We would be having the next central committee meeting at the annual picnic, which is being scheduled for the last two weekends, we don't know which, of June. And the reason for that is we've got a campaign thing happening in July and then the Crab Feast in September.
So why couldn't we hold this meeting this, like, 2 weeks from now?
We could, but it should be a meeting that's in presence. That is, we'd be holding a new meeting, getting a new venue. I'm not sure that makes sense.
Extra expense.
That, Mr. Schneider.
Since you made a motion, it should be seconded, and I seconded it.
Thank you. Any other questions on the nature of the motion, Mr. Bell?
I'd like to hear from Mr. Kyle O'Donnell.
So would I. There were other people who made recommendations at that platform meeting, but...
Thank you all for being here today and for considering platform changes. Out of respect for the speaker's time this evening, I think we should just postpone the platform until the summer picnic and to allow more time for the speakers. Thank you.
And let me just explain what the consequence of the motion failing would be, that all of the platform committee recommendations would simply fail and not be taken up, and we would have to do that again next year.
Okay. This requires a two-thirds vote to suspend the rules. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion passes. Phil, how much time do we have? All right, while we're waiting for Phil to get started up.
3 minutes.
Okay.
Do you want the results?
Yes, please.
In this wonderful balloting system, we finally have a result. Sometimes you don't get a result. Elected in the following order: Crystal Woodworth, Kyle O'Donnell, Phil Dassing, Robert Glazer. David Dahl, Robert Johnston.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Okay, we need to meet sometime after the meeting, sometime this evening, to get together and to divvy up which positions are going to be taken. Okay, while we're waiting for Spike, I'd like to make a few final comments as the outgoing chair. Been doing this for 14 years. How long has that been? It was a year and a half before Obama first got elected and before Ron Paul first ran for president. Maryland is not an easy state for freedom. Believe it or not, it's gotten better. In 2000, Cato's report, Maryland was 50th out of 50 states in civil liberties. So it has gotten a little bit better. It's got a long way to go. I want to thank those of you who have been donors. One of my biggest disappointments of the libertarian movement, how many people talk but don't walk the walk. Thank you, those who are donors. Those of you who got petition signatures. Petitioning sucks. I hate it. And thank you to those of you who have done it. Those of you who are volunteers. Those of you who work the booths. Most of all, being a candidate. Being a candidate in the Libertarian Party is generally a thankless job. You don't raise much money. You get no volunteers. You don't get much media. You don't get invited to debates. And when you do get media, it's usually more often than not been condescending. But candidates are the ones who get the message out. I'm a big fan of our think tanks, Cato, Mises Independent Institute, Future Freedom Foundation, but the bottom line is the average person finds out about libertarianism from a candidate. With me, it was Andre Marou in 92. With a lot of people, it's Harry Brown. And most of probably the majority in here, it was Ron Paul. So thanks to those of you who run for office. One, I ran for chair because I wanted to run candidates. It was extremely difficult. Okay, is he ready to go? Okay, thank you.
Motion to adjourn this session.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All those opposed?
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, thank you.